Acts chapter 12. As we continue our study in the book of Acts. The book of Acts chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. About that time, King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with a sword. After he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the festival of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison and handed over to 4 squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with 2 chains, was sleeping between 2 soldiers, while guards in the front door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell from his wrist. The angel said to him, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Peter went out and followed him, for he did not realize what was happening. The angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and second guard, they came before the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went outside and walked along a lane, when suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." As soon as he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many had gathered and were praying. When he knocked at the outer gate, a maid named Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was staying at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she insisted that it was so. They said, "It is his angel." Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the gate, they saw him and were amazed. He motioned them with his hand to be silent and described for them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he added, "Tell this to James and to the believers." Then he left and went to another place. When morning came, there was no small commotion among the soldiers for what had become of Peter. When Herod had searched for him and could not find him, he examined the guards and ordered them put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That's more I want to speak to you for a little bit about praying for Peter. The power of prayer. Now, we start off, it talks about a King Herod, and I need to unpack that a little bit. Now, some of these translations, I wish they would give a little extra words in there to clarify things, because if you're a young Christian, or maybe you're a newer old Christian, you can get confused easily, because there's a whole dynasty of Herods in the Gospels and Acts. Now, when the Romans took over the nation of Israel, the Israel got itself into a civil war, and the Romans marched in and then marched out. And they decided they need a puppet king to help run the country. And so Mark Antony went before the Roman Senate and said, "I have a person who would be perfect. He's not Jewish. He's from a Middle Eastern tribe, but he's not Jewish. His name is Herod, friend of mine." And so the Romans sent in their armies, and they put Herod onto the throne in Jerusalem. And Herod marry one of the Jewish princesses to kind of give himself some legitimacy. But for all his life, people looked at Herod and thought, he's not the real king. He's an imposter. He's a puppet king. Now, the young Herod was really good at what he did. In fact, he told his friend Mark Anthony, Mark Anthony, your girlfriend, Cleopatra, is bad news. Get rid of her. And you may recall how Anthony and Cleopatra got into a war with Rome and with Augustus Caesar, the nephew of Julius Caesar, and they lost, and they ended up committing suicide. And Herod went before Augustus Caesar and said, listen, Mark Anthony was a friend of mine, and I told him not to do this. You know, it wasn't anything personal. And Augustus Caesar was so moved, he said, then all I ask is you be as loyal to me as you were to Mark Anthony. And thus Herod kept the throne in Jerusalem. And sometimes Herod would do the right things for the wrong reasons. Herod liked to build things. And he thought, well, if I'm going to be the king in Jerusalem, Jerusalem will be the capital. We need a really nice temple. Remember, King Solomon built a nice temple and got destroyed by Babylonians. And years later, it got rebuilt. But it was rebuilt on a small budget. And so Herod began this massive project of rebuilding the temple. And that's why sometimes that second temple is called the Herod's Temple. But Herod did not believe in the one true God. And as his life went on, he would execute his wives and children and anyone he thought was a threat to him. This is the same Herod when he was an old man. He got shook up because a caravan from Iran arrived saying, where is he, born king of the Jews? We have seen the rising of the star in the east and come to worship him, the wise men. And Herod gave orders to his men to go to Bethlehem, find these babies and kill them. So that Herod would be the grandfather of this Herod. Well, when that Herod died, the kingdom got divided up and the Romans put governors in charge of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, such as Pontius Pilate. And Jesus, where he grew up in Galilee, was run by a guy named Herod Antipas. And he was a mess. Herod Antipas, you may recall, was married to a princess, the kingdom next door. And then he left his wife and stole his brother's Philip's wife, Herodias, who also was his niece. And John the Baptist called him out, told him to repent. And Herod Antipas threw John the Baptist in the dungeon. And then through some trickery of Herodias and her daughter Salome, the dancer, Herod ended up beheading John the Baptist. It was this same Herod Antipas on Good Friday that Pontius Pilate sent him Jesus of Nazareth and saying, this guy comes in your neighborhood. You make decisions on him. And he said, I find no fault in him, but send him back to Pilate. I don't want anything to do with it. And then what happened was the emperor died, and Herod Antipas and Pontius Pilate both ended up more or less getting fired from their jobs. And this is where this Herod, Herod Agrippa, shows up. He is the grandson of King Herod the Great. He is the nephew of Herod Antipas, the one who beheaded John the Baptist. Herodias was actually was his sister, by the way. So that was an interesting Thanksgiving dinner. And this Herod, his mother was actually a Jewish princess. So when he showed up, the people thought, well, praise the Lord. This is a legit Jewish king. He's not Roman. He's not Middle Eastern. He's Jewish. And so he gets to Jerusalem and says, well, what's this I hear about this new religion going on? And so he starts a little process of cleaning house. First, he has James, the brother of John, arrested and killed with a sword, beheaded. You may recall when James and John were with Jesus, they said, you know, mom was there with them and said, no, no, master, no, in the kingdom, we won't be at your left side, or we won't be at your right side. You know, we want the press box seats. And Jesus said, you know what you're asking for. Oh, yes, we know. You make sure it's James and John. We don't want Peter and Andrew, James and John. And he said, yes, you will be baptized with my same baptism. Because remember Jesus, when he was on the cross, he had a thief to his left and right. And James becomes the first apostle, those 12 disciples, to be killed for the faith. And then it says that Herod, when he saw how his approval ratings went up, he thought, well, let's do some more then. Who's next? Well, you know, Jesus had three close disciples, Peter, James, and John, so he got Peter next. And during Passover, arrested him, threw him in the dungeon. And he said, after Passover is over with, we'll go and get him next, execute him. And talks about how there are four squads of soldiers watching him. And I feel like verse 5 is our key verse. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. Those church folks had to think, oh, this isn't good. You know, that guy's grandfather tried to kill the baby Jesus when he was just a little toddler. And his uncle beheaded John the Baptist. And here he is. He's beheaded James, and now he's got Peter. And so the church had an all-night prayer meeting. And this is what this little lay me down to sleep, close my eyes, my soul to keep prayer. This was a fervent prayer. Lord Jesus, do something. Do something. Now, it says, the very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards around the door were keeping watch over the prison. Now, I got to think about that. Now, if you were down at the local prison in Nashville, and tomorrow was your day to be put on the electric chair, how well would you sleep that night? Would you sleep that night? You know, there's an old country song called I'm Walking the Floor Over You, and I kind of think that'd been me. I've been walking that floor all night long, dragging those two guards with me. But Peter had such faith and confidence in the Lord. He said, it is well with my soul. And he just said, I'm going to take me a nap. I'm going to go to sleep. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. And while he's asleep in prison, he gets a surprise visit. The angel of the Lord appeared. You know, when you're asleep, folks can walk in and pay you a visit. I'm not going to call any names, but I remember one time I paid somebody a visit. And she had fallen asleep watching the game show. And like Peter, she was locked up somewhere she wouldn't be at. And so what I did was I took a selfie in front of her clock and printed the picture off and put in the get well card and sent it to her so she knew I'd been there. And so the angel appears, the light's in the cell, but Peter is still asleep. And so the angel has to go, get up quickly. And I like these next few verses because it reminds me of certain students, and maybe reminds you some of your kids or grandkids or great-grandkids. You know how with some kids you can say, you need to go clean your room, and that's all you got to say, right? But with others, you got to say, make up your bed. I did it. Pick up your clothes. I did it. I need you to dust. I did it. Vacuum. I did it, right? You got to tell them step by step by step. I see some heads nodding back. Oh, that's what the angel does to old Peter. He says, Peter, get up. He does, the chains fall off. Put your belt on. Get your sandals on. Okay? Get your cloak. Follow me. I mean, he's giving Peter step by step instructions. And Peter went out and followed him, not realizing it was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. You know, remember last Sunday, we had the sermon about Peter's vision of the big sheet coming down from heaven. Rod had the Knoxville Zoo inside it. So there's Peter. He's thinking, well, here I go again, having one of these crazy visions. And then, door by door by door, they're walking out of this maximum security prison. I mean, it's like a scene out of a movie, right? They're just walking through, got security clearance. They even get outside the gate. It's also how the gate of the city, merely the city gate, will be closed at night, be locked up. And yet the city gate swings open, and Peter walks out of that angel down the lane. And it says, suddenly the angel left him. And verse 11 said, then Peter came to himself and said, now I'm sure the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Whereas he got outside and that cool wind blew on his face and he realized, this isn't a dream, this is real. And when he realized this, he goes down to the house of Mother Mary. Now, Mary's mother of John, also known as Mark, and Mark actually wrote one of our Gospels. Gospel of Mark, according to tradition, he wrote that, well, he learned from Peter. And so we have this great, great scene of, you got this prayer meeting going down at Mother Mary's house. You know, when I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary's praying for me. You know, Mother Mary's praying. And so Peter goes in. And so the maid goes, checks on the door, Rhoda. Who is it? It's me, it's Peter. Ah! She runs back inside. She leaves Peter at the front door, at the gate. And she tells him, it's Peter, he's at the front door. And they said to her, you're out of your mind. Now you notice how many times I've said things in Acts reminds us of stuff in Luke. Remember in Luke how the women go to the disciples and say, the Lord is risen, and they say, you crazy women, you saw something, you know. You're just watching too much TV or something. Same thing happens to Rhoda. She said, I saw Peter, and like, girlfriend, you're out of your mind. It ain't no Peter. No, it's him, it's him. And then I said, well, maybe this is his angel. No, there's a Jewish belief that with the saints, that sometimes when you died, that your angel, guardian angel, would appear to your loved ones, let them know you've left, you know. And we have some of that in our culture as well. You'll hear folks sometimes say, you know, I was at home, and you know, I felt like my grandfather was there with me, you know. And then I found out later that night he passed away, you know. Or I was here somewhere, and I thought, you know, somebody was with me. And then later I learned they died that night, you know. Well, they had that back then, too. And they thought, well, you know, Peter's died, he's been executed, and that's God's way of letting them know that his soul's been received. And so they're talking about it. But while they're talking about it, what's going on? Well, for an angel, he's making a lot of noise knocking on that front door, now, isn't he? How hard does an angel knock at the front door, right? We better go see who that is. And so they opened the gate, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And then I love this part. He said he motioned them with his hands to be silent. Because I imagine they started shrieking and carrying on. He's like, shh, be quiet, shh, you know. Don't make too much noise. You know, I just broke out of prison, okay? We don't need the cops called on us. You know, this will not be good. The neighbors call, what's going on here? Hey, aren't you the guy supposed to be in prison right now on death row? So Peter's like, shh, hush, 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 you know. And he told them what happened. He said, you're not going to believe this. I was asleep. I'm thinking, how are you asleep on death row? And I felt somebody tap me, and I woke up, and here was this angel. He said, get up. And I did. My chains fell off. He told me to get dressed. And then that angel led me through door by door of this maximum security prison out to the streets. We got to the big city gate. The gate swung open, and we walked out, and the angel disappeared. And I realized the Lord has sent his angel to deliver me. And then he said, tell this to James and to the believers. Now, this James, not the James, the brother of John. Remember, that James has been beheaded. This James is the brother of Jesus, which is kind of strange because When you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's mentioned very briefly, as this is James, brother Jesus. And then John's gospel makes it very clear that Jesus' brothers did not believe in him. They thought he was an apostle and fake. At one point, they said, go into Jerusalem, do your thing, you know, if you're really the Messiah, you know. But James has now become a believer. He has seen the resurrected Lord, and like my brother was the Messiah. I didn't know that all those years I grew up with him in Nazareth. And so Peter, he takes off and leaves. And then verse 18, when morning came, there was no small commotion among the soldiers over what had come of Peter. Now think about that. You're the soldier in charge of the maximum security prison, got a guy on death row. You look over like, Herb, where's Peter? No. And then you said, where's Peter at? What do you mean where he's at? He's in there with you, isn't he? I thought he was, he's not here. No. And then they're all running around that prison like a Three Stooges cartoon trying to figure out what happened to Peter. Here Antipas came in and searched for him. And so he got the royal king running around the prison trying to find Peter, you know. And you imagine how upset he was, like, how can you lose a guy on death row? He was chained up. There's a whole squad of you, you know. And listen to this. He examined the guards and ordered them to be put to death. Now, I feel bad for the guards on that one, but that should be a reminder every year at Easter when you turn on the History Channel or sometimes the Hysterical Channel and somebody will say, I believe Jesus really didn't die on the cross. I think they let him get away with it. No. If you let a guy on death row escape death row, guess what? You died in his place. We ain't doing that. That was a serious business. When somebody was in your custody, especially they were on death row, you made sure you kept them. And they were to die, you made sure they died. And so Herod is embarrassed. Herod Agrippa. He thought he would execute Peter and his popularity rate would go up. Instead, he's now embarrassed because how's he going to explain how this fisherman escaped the maximum security prison on his watch? And so he decides, maybe this is a good time to leave Jerusalem and go down to Caesarea by the coastline. Now, what about us and our prayers? Do we pray fervently? Do we pray with the belief that God's going to do something? Or do we just kind of pull this out on the Sunday and we kind of rattle it off and put it back up? And we might pray every once in a while. Or we like that early church. They were praying fervently. Lord, do something. And then what's surprising is that they got surprised and their prayer got answered. Lord, do something for Peter. Oh, Lord, be with Peter. Lord, we love Peter. Hey, your prayer has been answered. He's knocking on the front door. Open it. You know, sometimes God can answer our prayers, and we don't have enough sense to realize it after the fact, do we? No. And then another thought I had was, why Peter? No. Why did James get executed and Peter was broken out of jail? And as I've said so many times with other sermons, the answer is, we don't know. That's something only God determines. And for whatever reason, God looked down and decided that for James, he would be the first martyr out of the 12 disciples to die for the faith. And then for Peter, he said, no, I still got some work for you to do, Peter. I got some letters I need you to write to some churches, and I want you to go to Rome and be a witness and a blessing to the people of Rome, the Roman Christians, so they face persecution. I want to do a jailbreak and break you out. Yeah. And the fact is that sometimes in life, God may allow his people to be prosecuted, persecuted, and executed. There are times he may choose to work a miracle. Now, God does that in his own wisdom. Our job is to be faithful. We should be like that early church. Now, you have Mary, the mother of John Mark, telling everybody, I want you to come to my house. We'll have a prayer meeting. And we're praying. And they pray fervently. And God heard that prayer and answered that prayer. And while they were still praying, their answered prayer was knocking the front gate. Yeah. Maybe your own life, you think about how you prayed for something, and then realize afterwards God answered that prayer. But you got so wrapped up, you didn't even realize it. As Christians, we need to be like that early church, like Mary, the mother of Mark, and those women who were there in that house praying for Peter. They prayed fervently. Now, we sang songs about Sweet Hour of Prayer and what a friend we have in Jesus. Now, and then, like Peter, we need to be able to rest in the Lord and say, it is well with my soul. Thanks be to God. Amen. Oh, all right. So on page 377, we have, It Is Well With My Soul.